Well, friends, seeking the light and leading of God's Spirit, we turn again to God's Word, but this time to the Scriptures of the New Testament. The Scriptures of the New Testament and the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 11. And we're going to read at verse 11. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Well, I suppose we are all, to some degree or other, familiar with this wonderful chapter, where the life and experiences of various Old Testament believers are set out for us. Set out not in general biographical detail, but set out in such a way that particular aspects of their lives are isolated and identified, not necessarily the ones we would choose either, but they are isolated and identified by the Holy Spirit in order to demonstrate for us, in example after example, what true saving faith is, how true faith operates, and what true faith produces. And to that end, we encounter Abel at the very beginning of human history there. And then it moves on. We have Enoch, we have Noah, we have Abraham. And now here, in verse 11, we have the first woman mentioned in the chapter. There are many women of faith in the Bible. You only have to think, and I was thinking of her this afternoon, Mary, the mother of our Lord, and her own bright witness on the Lord's side. Now, the context here, as far as Sarah is concerned, is the birth of Isaac. And when we think of the birth of Isaac, our focus, more often than not, is on Abraham. And I suppose that's natural enough. He was the head of the household. It was with him that God made that covenant directly. And it was to him that intimation of the birth of a child and the descendants from that child was made at the first. But inevitably, he would have had to have shared it with Sarah. And in the process of time, as we saw in Acts 18, the promise is repeated in her hearing, and made, as God's promises and word always are, more revelation given, and indeed a time, a specific time given, when this promise would be fulfilled. Well, here, this verse focuses not on Abraham, but on Sarah. Because without her, none of it would have come to pass. Her faith, in its own way, was as important as that of her husband's. You notice it begins there in verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself. And in fact, the herself there is emphasized. She is going to receive a blessing. She is going to be a blessing as she receives God's blessing. Her faith as surely as Abraham's was going to be in operation. Well, can we notice, first of all, as we begin to consider this, and there are four matters I want to draw to your attention. But can we begin by considering, first of all, the promise that Sarah received by faith. The promise that Sarah received by faith. Now, we don't need to take any time up with this. It's clear and obvious. It's the promise of a child. It's what we saw unfolding there in that remarkable visit that was made to the tent of Abraham and Sarah. And she received this promise by faith, just as her husband did. You see, faith and the promises, they always go together. Faith needs revelation. It needs something to trust in, and ultimately it needs someone to trust in, if we're going to be precise. But it also needs promises. It needs the word of God and the assurances that come with it. Even a matter as basic and as rudimentary as pardon of sin itself. We have that revelation and that promise, for example, in 1 John. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Something is revealed. Something is promised. And we are directed toward that. Faith, you've heard this illustration often enough. Faith like the empty hand. And with the empty hand, into the empty hand, I should say, the Lord puts His promises. And what does faith do? Why? It grasps the promise so that the hand is no longer empty. Now, Sarah's promise here was unique. It was unique to herself and to her experience. But it has parallels and practical implications in the lives of God's people down through the ages. So that although we can't identify with her specific situation, or at least it's unlikely we ever will, we can find much in these events that is very close to home. So, Sarah receives a promise. And she receives it by faith. But you know, no doubt, where I'm going. Was it all straightforward and seamless? Did she get the word, receive the word? And it all proceeds perfectly? Not at all. As we saw in Genesis 18. And that leads me to my second point. We see the promise that Sarah received by faith, but then we see the hindrances to her faith. The hindrances to her faith. If it was all straightforward, it would scarcely merit a mention. But here in the chapter, as the apostle demonstrates and explores and explains the nature of faith, and as he shows us faith triumphing in the midst of difficulties, Sarah too is going to be a faith in the midst of struggles and difficulties. So it was for the others I mentioned. For Abel. Oh, it wasn't easy for him. And if it wasn't easy for him, it seems to us at least to have been even more difficult for Noah. Pressing on in God's way in the face of a united and unanimous opposition. We could give other examples from the chapter. Moses' parents and Moses himself and so on. Well, so too in Sarah's case. She has her struggles. And we identify with her struggles. We recognize them. We see ourselves here in the mirror of God's word. The visitors come to the tent in Genesis 18. Suddenly the conversation is brought around to Sarah. Where's Sarah? She's in the tent. And then the old promise is repeated, reinforced, expanded, as I said earlier. And how does Sarah react to this promise? That she will have a son. That in a year's time, there will be a little boy in the camp. She laughed at the news. And as we read the passage, it's clear it wasn't a laugh of joy. It was a laugh of unbelief. And possibly a bit of bitterness too. She's challenged, of course. Why did she laugh? And she tries, as we do, to cover our tracks. Oh, didn't laugh. Oh, you laughed. You laughed. As far as she was concerned, it was impossible. And two things in particular made it seem impossible. First of all, she had had no other children up until that point. Now that suggested, it can't be dogmatic, but it suggested that there was some issue of infertility as far as Sarah was concerned. Abraham, of course, had a child with Hagar. So if there was a physical problem, a physical issue, it appeared to relate to Sarah. Perhaps if she had half a dozen other children, albeit ages ago, it would have seemed less far-fetched. She had no other children up till this point. But there was an even bigger problem. She was past childbearing age. In fact, she was 90. And putting these two factors together, Sarah hears the promise. But Sarah's faith stumbles at the difficulty. She sees the course of nature. She sees her old age. And it seems to her that it cannot be. That whatever the promise might be, it seems to be beyond her reach. Out of her grasp. Too great. Too much. Too hard. And Sarah is not alone in her struggles. Perhaps tonight you see hindrances in your way spiritually that test your faith. And try your spirit. You see the promises of God's word. And there are days when you can embrace them gladly. And you could declare from the rooftop the doing and the goodness of God. But there are other days, my friend. And for all I know, tonight might be one of them. When it's a struggle. You see the sacrament approaching. And you're full of mixed emotions. What were we singing there in Psalm 78? Recounting for us the mighty words of God. The mighty works of God. A table in the wilderness. Can God prepare for us? For me? Can he give his people bread? And send them flesh to eat? And maybe there's an echo of that in your own life. And the enemy of your soul will say to you, well, you're the first believer to ever question the Lord. You read the promises of God, but at times you're so discouraged, you're tempted to laugh. You're like Sarah. You're tempted to laugh in your heart. Or maybe you're even tempted to have bitter thoughts. And conclusions. And then you wonder, am I a Christian at all? Is this real saving faith? I'll return to that question later on. But returning to Sarah, we've got to remember, and this is important, we've got to remember that all these hindrances, they weren't there by accident. They were there by design. They were there by design, and the same applies to you. The difficulties and the hindrances you see in the way, they're all there by design. Because the Lord designs everything. He designs the road that you walk on as his child. And there's not a stumbling, there's not a pothole, there's not an obstacle in that road. But he has designed it and placed it there. Oh, they were there. Why were there these hindrances? Why were there these problems in her life? And in her experience, they were there so that Abraham and Sarah could exercise faith. If there was no difficulty in the way of the conception, then they could see it as just the course of nature. But if it demanded more than the course of nature, then it called for an exercise of faith. But it was also there so that Abraham and Sarah would be an encouragement to others. An encouragement to others to wait on the Lord in hard times and in apparently impossible circumstances. You know, I often think of Sarah when we read of Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. You know, Sarah must have been such an encouragement to Elizabeth. As she receives a promise about a child, and again, humanly speaking, it's beyond the possible. But she'd read in her Bible about this other woman all these centuries before, whose experience was like her own, and she'd find encouragement. Sometimes, child of God, you go through things, and it's not just for yourself, it's for other people as well. Oh, they were there so that they would exercise faith. They were there so that they would be an encouragement to others in like circumstances. But they were there above everything else. In order that God would be glorified, and the more glorified, as he would work through and over the natural hindrances that stood in the way. Well, we have the promise that Sarah receives by faith. We have the hindrances that come in the way of Sarah's faith. But then thirdly, we have the triumph of her faith. Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful. Oh, Sarah stumbles, as all Christians do. But by God's grace, she is enabled to pick herself up. She's able to remember and to grasp that God is faithful, faithful to his word, faithful to his people. And she remembered too that he has the power to bring it to pass. Back to Genesis 18. What do the messengers say in verse 14? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I think these words had a profound effect on Sarah. It's the promise of God and not of man. And when unbelief rises up against you, our faith reaches out to the promise, and you judge him faithful that promised. Do you not? We see the triumph of faith. She judged him faithful that had promised. You remember Solomon? There were these two pillars in the temple. We read of them in 1 Kings 7. One of them, its name meant strength. And the other one, its name meant he will establish it. And these two pillars, oh, you're leaning on them and you're building on them. His strength. And he will establish it. He has power to establish it. He will fulfill his purposes. He will save his people. He will keep them and guard them. And he will bring them to glory. He'll grace and glory give. She judged him faithful that had promised. Sarah believed God. And she believed that God was able to turn ordinary human nature upside down, and that he would do that before he broke his word. I think it's Thomas Merton who says, if God's hands were tied, we might have cause to be concerned when he gives a promise, but his hands are not tied. Sarah trusts God. And as it says here, she received strength to conceive a child. She received strength to conceive a child. I think it's A.W. Pink who comments that she obtained what was not previously there. The now dead functions of her womb were revived. Her infertility is changed to fertility. Oh, friends. She has her struggles in that moment, but she judges him faithful. Difficulties with believing God's promises are not an evidence that you are not a Christian. I promised I would come back to that. It's not an evidence that you're not a Christian. Indeed, I'm more encouraged when a person says to me, I'm struggling with the promises of God. I'm troubled by Satan and by unbelief. You know, I rather that than the person who says, oh, I have no problems. Look at this chapter. There's problem after problem. But they judge him faithful. And by faith. How is it put at the end of the chapter? There it is in verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Isn't that amazing? Wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and so on it goes. Oh, indeed. The struggle is the evidence of a spiritual warfare going on. As against hope, you believe in hope. We are not to look for a perfect faith. You might be saying, well, I don't know. I don't think I have faith because it's not a perfect faith. And you look at the Lord's people and you say, oh, their faith is perfect. Oh, my friend, you're making a miscalculation. We are not to look for a perfect faith that never struggles, but a faith that despite its struggles, goes on trusting in the Lord. That's saving faith. And she goes on trusting the Lord. Wasn't just an initial belief, because that would wear off. She had months of this. And it's very interesting the way the verse is constructed. She received strength to conceive, and then it adds, and was delivered of a child. The two are being viewed somewhat separately in the verse. And there's a reason for that. It's reminding us that she trusted God to the end. That would have been difficult. There would have been initial joy when she discovers that she was pregnant. Massive enthusiasm. But are you telling me Satan didn't attack her then? At your age, all the difficulties of carrying to term. The difficulties and danger of miscarriage and so on. He would have pummeled her, I'm sure. Oh, Sarah, it's all very well. But what if this and what if that? And what does Sarah say? Well, she said, I don't know. But I judge him faithful that promised. That's all I've got. And that's enough. And she is delivered of a child, as it says here. What's that verse earlier on in Hebrews? Chapter 3, I think. Yes, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength. And what does it say in Isaiah? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall be delivered of a child when they are past age. And they will build an ark to the saving of their house. And they will subdue kingdoms and wrought righteousness and stop the mouths of lions. Believing that he is faithful, that promised. And the Lord is able to make the barren church faithful and fruitful. And he's able to give strength to the believer to press towards the mark. Faith, you see, is not focused on us. It is focused on the Lord. I can do all things. Philippians 4:13. Can't remember who it was preaching on that verse and focused on that first bit for a while. I can do all things. Oh, Paul, you're saying too much. You're saying I can do all things. You're forgetting yourself. Ah, let's finish it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And through faith, she receives strength. She goes to the Lord in her weakness, and he strengthens her. He strengthens her physically and spiritually. And she is made strong, spiritually and physically, actually. The promise that she received by faith, the hindrances to her faith, the triumph of her faith. One last word and I'll be quick. We have the fruit of her faith. And what was the fruit of her faith? Well, there was the birth of a child. The child of promise. Who would help and encourage and be a joy to Abraham and to Sarah. It would keep a godly line in existence. For Ishmael would soon show his true colours. But God would keep his cause. The birth of a child. The birth of a nation. Or who knows what comes from small things. And what might grow from the faith of God's people. The birth of a nation, as God promised. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, and her as good as dead as well. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude. How many pioneer missionaries have gone into the most unpromising situations? 1,000 hindrances, yes, and 1,000,000 hindrances. But they judge him faithful that promised. And a soul here and a soul there is converted, and a church is begun. And perhaps that initial missionary is in glory 100 years. And there's maybe hundreds of people, hundreds of spiritual children, singing praise to God because that pioneer judged him faithful who had promised. Or you say, well, I'll never be a pioneer missionary. Well, perhaps so. But there's a mission station on our doorstep, and who knows? The Lord honours the faith of his people. He honours their trust in him. And he is no man's debtor. The birth of a child, the birth of a nation, the birth of a saviour. I must mention that. She presses on by faith, and from it comes Christ ultimately. Yes, and the birth of a spiritual family. Abraham would have other children, other descendants. Romans 4:16. I don't have time to stop at it just now. But every time someone is converted, The number of Abraham's spiritual descendants are added to. Now they didn't see that. Obviously. We don't see everything fulfilled either. But we judge him faithful who has promised. And we leave outcomes and tomorrow in the hands of the one who has tomorrow. That's saving faith. Here's faith exercised. It's exercised in a great matter here. But faith is exercised in every area of the Christian's life. We are to live by faith. And we're to get the order right. Sarah she doesn't look at the promises through the lens of her difficulty as she does initially. You know the way it is when you get a telescope the wrong way around. It distorts it, doesn't it? As she's got the wrong end of the telescope initially. She's looking at the promise through the lens of her difficulty and she's laughing. Then the Lord turns it around. And she's looking at the difficulty through the lens of the promise. And the perspective is completely changed. And the Lord is so gracious. You might be saying, oh, well, maybe what you say is right, but ah, you don't know. Things in my past, these things blot out any hope. Ah, well. The Lord didn't say to Sarah, you laughed. We might have done. We might have said, that's it. One strike and you're out. You laughed, Sarah. No. With us he dealt not as we sinned, nor did requite our will. He doesn't say, how dare you, there will be no blessing. Oh, he is good to her. And he is good to all his people. He helps them struggle, and he helps them in their struggles. As a gardener tends a frail plant. How is it? It's put there for us in Isaiah. Maybe it's chapter 42. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. And he will enable his people in and through difficulty and problem and turbulence to judge him faithful that had promised. We were singing earlier in Psalm 77. I drew your attention to the questions. And that they're Sarah type of questions. Forever will the Lord cast off and gracious be no more. Forever is his mercy gone. Fails his word evermore. Is true that to be gracious the Lord forgotten hath. And that his tender mercy he hath shut up in his wrath. Then did I say that surely this is mine infirmity. I'll mind the year of the right hand of him that is most high. Yea, I remember will the works performed by the Lord. The wonders done of old by thee, I surely will record. And we judge him faithful that has promised. This is the nature of faith. Receiving the promises, trusting the word, receiving God's assurance in his word, taking him at his word, and pressing on in the midst of difficulty. Judging him faithful that I promised. And he is faithful. He will be faithful to his promises and you can lean on him. You can lean on them tonight. You can lean on them on the Lord's day as you remember his death till he come. You can lean on them forever. For God the Lord's a sun and shield. He'll grace and glory give and will withhold no good from them. Uprightly to live. Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. May God bless his word. Let us pray. Eternal Lord, we praise thy name for this piece of history, this precious piece of history, a child of God, hearing the promises but seeing the difficulties, and concluding initially that the difficulties were too great, that she would not make it, that the word would not be fulfilled in her experience. But oh, she is unable to trust. And she was not disappointed. None perish that him trust. Encourage thy people here in the midst of a sea of difficulties. Or they may feel like Sarah in the tent. It all seems so hard, so difficult. Can it ever, ever, ever be? But grant that they may, by like Sarah, lay hold on the promises of God and believe him and believe his word. Judge him faithful who has promised. And the day will come when, like Sarah, they will look back and see the faithfulness of the Lord. How often she must have thought of these things as she watched little Isaac play, as she watched Isaac grow up into manhood. A multitude of thoughts in her heart, and praise to God in her soul. Be with us as we close. Pardon anything we said amiss, blotted out, and bless thy word, and receive us and all we bring. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalm 138. I'm going to sing the last three verses from verse 6.